Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to the Rea Drazil conference call to discuss its results for the third quarter of 2012. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet and in the website www.readrazil.com.br/IR. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a question and answer period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during the conference, please press star 0 for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention the forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the belief and assumptions of Rea Drazil management and on the information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they are related to future events and therefore depend on the circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Rea Drazil and could cause the results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Claudio Roberto Illy, CEO, and Mr. Eugenio De Zagatis, Investor Relations Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, Investor Relations and Planning Director. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Claudio Roberto Illy. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Welcome to the presentation of Rea Drazil reference to the third quarter of 2011. Now, I will transfer to Mr. Eugene to run the presentation.
Hello, everybody. First of all, thank you for being in this conference call with us. On page 3, I'll cover the highlights of the quarter. We ended the quarter with 128 drugstores in operation. We opened during the quarter 24 new stores, and we closed 3 stores. We achieved gross revenues of 1.45 billion reais in the quarter, a growth of 17.8% over the previous year, and that also corresponded to a same-store sales increase of 11.2%. Our gross margin corresponded to 26.2% of our gross revenues, a 0.7 percentage point margin expansion in terms of gross margin. We had an EBITDA of 81.1 million in the quarter. That corresponded to an increase of 18.6% over the previous year. And that basically means that we remained with our EBITDA margin in line with that achieved in the third quarter of 2011. Our net income totaled 39.7 million reais adjusted. That corresponded to 2.7% of net margin, also in line with the previous year. And finally, the highlight of the quarter was a strong cash generation of 112.4 million reais after several quarters of cash pressure. On page 4, to give more details in terms of our store development, out of the 24 store openings we conducted in the quarter, 18 of those stores corresponded to Drogasil stores, while only 6 corresponded to Droga Raia store. This is not a surprise for us. We have, because of the preparations for the incorporation of Raia into Raia Drogasil, which will take place in the end of November, in the very end of November, we had to suspend the opening of new Raia stores that hadn't been fully licensed until the beginning of the third quarter. The reason being is that we have to transfer a myriad of licenses for every store that we manage, which basically means, from the legal viewpoint, almost reopening those stores under Rea Drogasil. So as those license migrations take time to happen, if we had open stores during the last quarter that hadn't been fully licensed, we wouldn't have the time to transfer all those licenses into the new company, so that these new stores, now after the incorporation, they would be left alone without licenses. So in the case of these 6 stores, as they were already fully licensed in the beginning of the quarter, we were already working on the transfer to Rea Drogasil. So this suspension means that after the incorporation is over, that basically means from December 1st onwards, we will see a huge increase in new store openings by Hiya, because a lot of stores, they have been left for the last quarter of the year. Another important point is that we closed three. I apologize to everybody due to any kind of unforgivable technical problem. We fell for a couple of minutes, but now we're back. So I was on page 4, talking about the new store openings, and just to conclude on this page, it's important to mention that the stores we have under operation at the end of the quarter, 34.3% of them were still undergoing maturation. So it's a significant number of stores which economic potential has not been unleashed yet. On page 5, I would like to talk about our geographic coverage and market share growth that we experienced in the quarter. As we entered in this quarter into new markets, Bahia and Mato Grosso do Sul, we can say that we now operate in states that represent 84% of the Brazilian pharmaceutical market. In terms of market share growth, this was a good quarter. We reached 9.1% of national market share, an increase of 0.4 percentage points in the quarter. We had most states very good market share increases. São Paulo is probably the highlight of the quarter. It's our main state, and even though a lot of people believe this is a mature market eventually could no longer be offer such nice growth opportunities, we still managed to increase our market share by 2 percentage points from 19.4 to 21.4, and there's still a lot of room to keep on growing in São Paulo. Espírito Santo was another highlight. We increased 1 percentage point in market share from 8.3 to 9.3. In Rio de Janeiro, the same type of increase from 4.4 to 5.4, 1.0%. A strong highlight also was our performance in the Midwest region of Brazil. In Distrito Federal, which is where the capital of Brazil is located, our market share increased by 0.3 percentage point to 15.7. In Goiás, it increased by 0.2 percentage points. It reached 13.7 after several quarters of a negative trend in terms of market share. Mato Grosso, a market we entered in the second quarter of the year, we reached 2.9%. And Mato Grosso do Sul now, we just opened in the middle of the quarter, with 3% of market share. We also had to mention here that we concluded the acquisition of 26 stores located in Goiânia that belonged to Santa Marta. So considering the strong operation we already have on the Midwest region and these new stores that will be opening in the first quarter of the year, we expect to have in the beginning of 2013 more than 120 stores in the Midwest region, which will absolutely consolidate our leadership in that important market of Brazil. We also highlight the strong performance in Santa Catarina. This is a market we entered last year, but the bulk of the stores are coming in the year, where we have close to 3% of market share. And finally, our entry into Bahia, the main market in the Northeast region, where the biggest population and the biggest market potential lies. We are very happy with the beginning of operation in that state. We now have 7 stores. We had 6 at the end of the quarter. And we have probably a 10-year growth story in the Northeast region ahead of us. So I would say this is a very important market entry, and that's a market with great potential ahead. On page 6, talk about our revenue growth. Our total revenue growth in the quarter amounted to 17.8% over the previous year, while our mature stores, they grew by 7.2%. It's important to highlight that we had a negative calendar effect in the quarter, as this year's quarter had less working days than last year's, and that amounted to 0.9%. So if we leveled up with last quarter, our growth would have been 8.1%. Even the 7.2 is a performance that leaves us very happy. because we're talking about stores only that have been operating for more than 3 years. So this is really performance-driven type of growth. In Haya, that growth for mature stores corresponded to 5.7% in the quarter. While for Drogasil, the number was 8.6%. The main reason of the difference between Haya and Drogasil in terms of mature store growth lies in the comp base. In the third quarter of 2011, Drogasil grew only 5.1%, while Haya grew 10.5%. So when we stack the 2 years together, just the arithmetical summation of the 2 years, basically Haya, the number would have been 16.2 versus 13.7 for Drogasil. In both cases, real growth that makes us very, very, very happy and very confident about the future. Please, talking about our product mix. Again, generics was the fastest growing segment. It grew by 23%, and that corresponded to an increase in the total product mix by 0.5 percentage points over the same quarter of last year. It's also not new for hygiene personal care. Once again, was one of the strongest categories. It grew by 18.7%. And it reached 29.2% of the total mix versus 29% in the third quarter of 2011. On page 8, talking about our gross margin, we reached in the quarter a gross margin of 26.2%. That corresponded to 0.7 percentage points of increase over the third quarter of 2011. I believe gross margins was really the defining number of the quarter, as the adoption of a new tax regime that is helping us convert outstanding tax credits in excess of 100 million reais that have been hanging on our balance sheet for something like 5 years now. So this new tax regime basically means that instead of buying with from our suppliers and having our suppliers collecting our taxes on our behalf, we now pay for the products without pre-collection of taxes. So when we transfer from our distribution centers to our stores, then we have to pay our own tax bill. And since we have a tax outlay to make, we can use our credit, our outstanding tax credits against it. So this new regime is very important in terms of the conversion of the old tax credits, but it had a consequence. There was an impact in our margins by 0.8 percentage points. What happened here is that for all suppliers that have the kind of tax planning in which they own their own distributing company, what they basically do is that they sell from the manufacturing facility to the distribution company by very low prices. They pay lower taxes through this type of tax planning, and then they ship from the distribution company to the retail clients at normal prices. So their whole margin is made at the distribution company, and they have significant tax savings by shipping by through a lower price from the manufacturing facility. So for manufacturers that don't have any tax planning of the sort, nothing changed. But in these situations, the taxes that they are saving, we have to supplement that to the state. So basically, their tax advantage, their tax break became our additional tax burden. This change alone represented 0.8 percentage points of gross margin. So if nothing had happened, we would have posted gross margins of 27% in the quarter, which really represents the trend that we have after a lot of improvements in our purchasing terms. So our main challenge now is to deal with this pressure. So we're dealing with that in many ways. One of them is negotiating our loss with the suppliers. I'll say that we'll have some level of improvement coming from that type of negotiation. We're also talking to the tax authorities in the state of São Paulo. I don't know if anything will come from that. But finally, we have price adjustments to make. So in the best scenario, we would be back to the normal margin in the first quarter of next year. If that's not possible, at least we expect to be in the first quarter of next year so much better than we are in this quarter, so something in between, and then progressively offset through the year. Let's see how things evolve. What's important to mention here is that we no longer accumulate retained taxes. The taxes that we are consuming and we're converting to cash by using this tax regime, they are all old taxes that have been accumulating in the balance sheet for more than 5 years. So as a last resort, after we convert these outstanding tax credits to cash, we can always drop out of this tax regime and go to the previous regime, which basically would bring our margins instantly back to 27%. We have a significant improvement in the cash cycle in the quarter, also due to the usage of the tax regime. So when you look our cash cycle in the end of the third quarter, it basically meant a 15.1 day improvement over the second quarter of this year, and basically we got back to the same level of last year. Out of the 15 days of cash cycle improvement, 10 days are structural, as we have rebalancing inventories across all distribution centers, but 4.5 days is basically the taxes that were contained on our inventories, because since the supplier paid in our behalf, we accounted that tax paid as part of the inventory. Now in the new regime, we unleashed that 4.5 days, and that's basically now in the tax to be recovered account, and that will be turning to cash over the next quarters. If we get back to the old regime, we lose this 4.5 benefit, but the current tax outstanding that amounts now to 73 million, and that in the beginning of the quarter accounted for something like 100 million reais, I mean, they will be converted for good. On page 9, talking about our sales expenses, we had an increase in our sales expenses of 1.4 percentage points over the third quarter of 2011. Basically, the sales expenses of the quarter, they are in the same level of the second quarter of the year. However, we had to apply in July the annual salary readjustments that corresponded to 6.5% this year. So it's the difference in 0.4 percentage points from the second to the third quarter of the year is the annual salary readjustment. Except for that, we would have been in the same level of the previous quarters. So looking back to the third quarter of 2011, the bulk of these 1.4 percentage points is explained by the headcount increases we promoted at higher, and also the salary readjustment, 0.8 percentage points. In addition to that, our commercial leases increased by 0.2 percentage points. This is due to how the property market in Brazil is picking up over the last over this year and even a couple previous years. So this is the property market is just going up and up and up, and as a result, even though we're protected for contracts, when the contracts expire and we have to renegotiate our terms, then we are subject to these market increases. So 0.2 percentage points. And then we have two pressures that are very related to the growth process. As we opened recently two new distribution centers, the first in Rio in the beginning of the year, and the second in the countryside of São Paulo that we recently completed, the increase in logistics because of new distribution centers amounted to 0.2 percentage points. And then we also had a surge in pre-operation expenses of 0.3 percentage points as the growth program of this year is very concentrated in new markets. And whenever we open stores in new markets like Bahia, Mato Grosso, and so on, and even Santa Catarina, first, we don't know how legalization of new stores work in the beginning. So there's a learning curve, and in the beginning it takes longer to licensiate the stores. And also, because we have to train people that we have hired in these markets before opening the store, sometimes we're paying salaries and rental for stores that haven't produced a single cent of gross profit to pay for the bill. So next year, as our growth program will be more focused in the current regions, and as the learning curve in the new markets has already been exhausted, we expect to be able to fade that extra pressure off our numbers. So I would say 0.3 of pre-operation expenses plus 0.2 of new distribution centers is very related to our growth program. And over time, we hope to see improvements in that. On page 10, talking about administrative expenses. And that's, besides with the cash cycle, it's the best news of the quarter. Our G&A account represented 2.6% of gross revenues, a significant improvement over the same quarter of last year when we posted 3.4%. What's happening here is that first, we as we unified our senior and middle management structure, I mean, we had some people leaving the company, and that's a good saving. Most important than that was also the fact that we are keeping new hires at the corporate structure to a very minimum. So basically, we're keeping in absolute terms our G&A constant, and then the growth that we have obtained has diluted our figures. And then in the quarter, as a result of the lower performance that we achieved because of the gross margin pressures, we're also making the corresponding adjustment to our variable compensation allowance. So it's important to explain that into the second quarter, we were absolutely on track with our budget. So we were provisioning the target variable compensation for everybody in the company. And now, as our margins dropped significantly below what we had forecasted, we are also adjusting accordingly our compensation provision. So the reason we have this save of 0.3 percentage points in compensation provision is exactly because of the gross margin product. So this is part of the quarter. I mean, looking forward, when our margin recovers, of course that this 0.3 will go up again. But as long as we have lower margins, we believe that our G&A will have to compensate on the variable compensation allowance. Finally, on page 11, talking about our EBITDA, we reached 81.1 million reais in EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA in the quarter. Despite of the margin pressures that we faced, we still managed to balance our EBITDA margin. We kept it in line with the previous year. So what basically, and it's interesting that, for example, when you look versus the previous year, our gross profit increased by 0.7 percentage points. But of course, that without the tax changes, I mean, it probably would have been something like 1.5%. Then administrative expenses, it improved 0.8 over the previous year, and sales expenses, it increased 1.4% over the previous years. Another number that we like to share is what would our profitability have been if we hadn't opened any store in this year. So basically, we take the initial stores with which we started the year, and then we measure their results, and then we take the full G&A of the company out of those numbers. So basically, without the new stores open during this year, we would have achieved 1.4 billion reais in U.S. revenues. We also we would have achieved 89.5 million in EBITDA. So very clearly, we lost something like 8 million in EBITDA because of the pre-operation expenses and the negative initial results of the recently opened stores. And we would have posted an EBITDA margin of 6.3. Remember that we had an impact of 0.8 of the gross margin due to the tax, to new taxes adoption. And without that, it would have been 7.12. We reached a net income, just a net income of 39.7 million reais. We basically remained in the similar level to the third quarter of 2011. We posted the same level of depreciation that we have been posting every quarter, like 1.9%, and we sustained the same level of net financial revenue of the previous quarter, and interest, net interest expense of 0.1%. Finally, talking about our cash flows, we had a cash generation in the quarter of 112.4 million reais. Basically, we had 71.6 million in resources from operations versus 63.7 in the third quarter of last year. And then we had a working capital improvement of 97.4 million reais. So the cash cycle alone was 103 million reais. But it's important to mention that because the taxes on inventories were taken out from inventories and cash cycle as a result, and put on the tax to be recovered account, basically out of the 103 million improvement in cash cycle, 50.4 was taxes on inventories. On the other hand, the other liabilities and the other current assets and liabilities line that were, where we posted almost 30 million negative. That 30 million negative would have been 20 million positive. So we deducted 50 million from that because the taxes on inventories, they were not immediately converted into cash. They would be converted over the following quarter. So it eased out the cash cycle, but then it increased the other current assets and liability account. Finally, we invested 56.6 million reais in the quarter. And then to conclude the presentation, considering our share price of 22 reais that we had on November 12th, that implies in an average annual return of 29% for every investor that entered the company in Drogasil's IPO in 2007, and then an average annual return of 47.6% for all RAI investors who invested in its IPO in 2010. Finally, to conclude, I would like to share some of the highlights of what we have recently accomplished. It's important to mention that on November 5th, we have opened our distribution center in Ribeirão Preto, in the countryside of São Paulo. This distribution center was conceived, developed, and implemented already under the new company, Raia Drogasil. On November 10, we completed 1 year as a merged company, and this has been a very busy year working on the integration of the company. In the beginning of this week, on this Monday, we finalized the transfer of every RAIA employee from the previous RAIA site into the RAIA Drogasil site, which has been renovated to increase the footprint and to increase the available area to accommodate all these people coming here. And also, the RAIA training center is also in the process of being shut down, just as the administrative center, and all the training programs are now conducted at the new RAIA Drogasil site. And finally, on November 30, we will have our general assembly to finalize the incorporation of RAIA by RAIA Drogasil. So this is a very challenging, time-consuming task we're involved in. It basically means reopening more from the tax view, from the regulation viewpoint. It's like reopening more than 400 stores. So we have to get to relicense each one of those new stores. So every store relies on a myriad of licenses, like tax license, sanitary license, operating licenses, and so on. So every one of those licenses must be reobtained by Raia Drogasil, so that on December 1st we'll be able to stop using the old Raia licenses, as Raia will cease to exist, and start using the new Raia Drogasil license. So it's unbelievable the level of energy that an incorporation like this consumes from the company. But also, this is a key milestone for us to progress on our integration. I mean, our goal is, in the end of next year, to be, from every regard, a single company with a single system, with a single distribution network being shared across the two brands. And to do that, the incorporation is a must-do step. Also, after the incorporation, we will now we'll have the opportunity, if our board so decides, to start amortizing the goodwill generated on the transaction. And then, if that happens, this would imply in a tax shield of something like 240 million reais over 6 years. So that only exists after the incorporation is done. So the decision on whether using that, doing that or not, will be done by our board just after the incorporation. So this is what we had for you today, and we'd like to open now for any questions you might have. Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad at this time. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star then two. We will pause momentarily so we can assemble our roster. Thank you. Our first question comes from Andrew Johnson from AJ Capital. Mr. Johnson, go ahead. Mr. Johnson?
Yes. Sorry.
The floor is yours.
Excuse me?
You can ask your question now, sir.
I'd like to understand how the integration process is proceeding and what's the expected time frame for the conclusion of the process in terms of impact on results.
Okay, thanks for the question. We announced a transaction last year in August. The transaction closed in November. We didn't have any problems with antitrust authorities. The transaction was fully approved without any restrictions. In the beginning of this year, the first thing we did was define our management structure, both middle and senior management. So it was very important to have the one team that will take this company forward in the same boat and defined. This year we have been working on a lot of areas. For example, purchasing was probably the first area that was integrated as we renegotiated our commercial terms in the beginning of the year. So for example, now we still rely on two different systems to place the orders in the end of the day, but all the negotiations and the terms or already unified. We have also progressed in other processes like corporate planning, like human resources, and so on. We're now integrating our payroll systems, and we're now doing the incorporation at the end of this year. So as we start next year as a single legal entity, we'll be able to integrate our distribution network. This is very important. We are now... when we analyze existing systems, we decided to use the Raia system as a starting platform. But what we did was incorporating a lot of the functionalities that the Drogasil system has, and that makes Drogasil excel at several of the things it does. We have already incorporated that in the Raia system. We're now doing fine tuning to that. And after the incorporation in the beginning of the year, who basically will start to roll out that systems on Drogasil's distribution centers. It won't be a big bang process. It will start with one region, then another, then another, and then another. And by the end, after that, we'll be a single company. We'll be sharing a single system and a single distribution network serving both brands. So we expect that the bulk of the acquisition will be concluded by the end of next year.
Okay, and will the acquisition of Santa Marta and Goiânia be a third platform, or will it be included in existing two?
We have just concluded the acquisition of Santa Marta. These stores will be open in the first quarter. So these are 26 stores. These are very, very strong portfolio of stores in a region where our brand is very strong. So we're very enthusiastic about the transaction. And basically, those stores, they'll probably open over January and February. Two of the stores will be moving Drogasil stores, so we're closing two Drogasil stores, and then two of the 26 stores are very close by, so it's basically moving a store, an existing store, into that, and then 24 stores, they will be additional stores.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your question.
Next question comes from Irma Sars from Goldman Sachs. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I was wondering if you could provide an update maybe on any outstanding system integration or system updates that you need to do in 2013 and whether you expect any additional expenses, CapEx, or any risk of disruptions from that. Thank you.
Irma, thanks for the question. We don't expect any major expenses as a result of the integration, especially because our corporate systems, they are proprietary, so it's our own people who are upgrading the system and who will be doing the whole integration. Probably in the finance and accounting part, where we are implementing SAP, even though Hire had already SAP, because we want the best of both skills incorporating the new company, SAP will be almost re-implemented. So with SAP, it's possible that we get expenses related to that, but I mean, that's not something crazy. I mean, maybe something like 5 million reais, 4 million reais, something in that order, but not for the main system, which is the commercial system. The timetable will be like this. I mean, the first distribution center that will have the new upgraded Raya system operating will be Ribeirão Preto. We just opened Ribeirão Preto as a Drogasil distribution center with Drogasil systems, and Ribeirão Preto is currently serving only 30 stores. So we'll put the new systems in Ribeirão Preto. We will also convert those 30 stores to the higher system, and then this is basically our pilot. I mean, there'll certainly be tweaks required, we have no doubt about that, but we're talking about a small portion of the chain, and I mean, I don't think it will be something that will affect operations. And then as we complete Ribeirão Preto and we learn from that pilot, we'll progressively do that over the following regions. I mean, we expect that by the end of next year, the whole systems integration could be over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Irma.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will pause momentarily to assemble a roster again.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your attention during this conference call. This is the fourth quarter that we have been reporting as a merged company. The first quarter was the fourth quarter of last year when we had just finalized the acquisition. This has been quite a year. This is a year that, I mean, when we look back at the last 12 months, this has been a very strong year for us. I think we have posted very strong comps at our stores. We have improved our purchasing terms significantly. We have diluted G&A in quite a good way, but it was also a quarter with challenges. We had we experienced pressures on sales expenses. I believe these pressures are intrinsical to the type of growth we're promoting and to the type of preparation expenses we have to face, and advances in logistics investments that also translate into additional expenses. I mean, we always expected that that would happen, but we have been counting until now with our gross margin increase to absorb that and deliver a margin expansion. Because of the tax change in this quarter, we didn't manage to expand the margin, but even in a quarter where our margin was penalized by 0.8 percentage points because of that, we still managed to deliver a profitability in line with the previous year. And we have now a significant challenge ahead of us of not only completing the whole integration, as I previously mentioned, but also dealing with the 0.8 percentage point margin pressure. We believe, as I already said, that in the first quarter of next year, the bulk of these this pressure will probably be begun already, and then through the year we will be able to go back to where we were in terms of gross margin, a level around 27%. We always have a scenario, as we no longer generate tax credits, that when we reach, when we consume all the outstanding balances, that we could, if we don't solve our problem, we could just go back to the older system without accumulating any taxes, as we have today a distribution structure that is decentralized and we no longer accumulate significant tax credits. So we know the challenges we have ahead. Looking back, it has been quite a year for us. And we remain confident with the perspectives we have had. Thank you very much.